On this episode of The Playbook, I have the co-founder Simon Yu and Christian Young of Clubhouse Media Group. We're going to talk about how the Clubhouse and Clubhouse Media Group are so successful and how they utilize influencers, engagement, and how it all falls back to a Super Bowl commercial. Join me for all this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
I have two extraordinary young entrepreneurs, Simon Yu, co-founder and COO of Clubhouse Media Group, and his co-founder, their president, of the Clubhouse Media Group, Christian Young. Welcome to The Playbook, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This is super exciting. So I'm going to start with the obvious question, because I know there's been a lot in the media, no pun intended, with Clubhouse Media, about the confusion in the marketplace between Clubhouse, the app, and Clubhouse Media Group. I'm going to start with, what effect did Clubhouse, the app, have on your company?
Do you want me to take that, or you want to take that one, Simon?
I think there is, I guess, rumors or something along the lines of, you know, Elon Musk liking or tweeting one of our posts. And, you know, my question to that is, yeah, it could be that he mistaken us for the Clubhouse app, or, you know, does Elon make mistakes? You know, so I don't know. You know, Chris, what do you think?
You know, from what I hear, and I'm about one step away from Elon for a few people, my conclusion of it really was Elon doesn't make mistakes. So I guess, I don't know. You know, he, as a person, I think he doesn't like authority. I think we know that. and two is I think he kind of likes the underdog. So, but number three is maybe he did make a mistake. So who knows?
And either way, it doesn't matter, because your business has to be able to articulate its quantitative value, which you guys do so well. As a co-founder, you know, one of you give me a little bit of background on how not only has the idea evolved, but how you've executed on the idea.
Yeah, I think I can jump in a little bit. Chris at the time was a counsel for one of the club Hype House members, Daisy Keach at the time, and him and Amir hooked up, and, you know, they were talking about starting their own content house. And, you know, Chris let me know that, you know, that's what he was doing. And I said, Chris, you know, wouldn't it be interesting to have a publicly traded company around social media? And, you know, part of being a publicly traded company is awareness, and having that aspect is a very interesting idea. So I think we're going to kind of just slowly put things together. And, you know, we started our first house. When did we start our first house, Chris? Do you remember?
We signed the lease in the middle of March, I think, and officially opened in April. And then I would say the business really started in around June, because there was a lot of pre-planning. But we knew at that time that COVID was coming and things were going to get shut down. So we said, let's lock this in and let's get it set up. So.
And, you know, without fear, you guys got to set it up during COVID. And with that, where do you see the value in? Is it in the influencers or the products or the combination thereof of what you're able to do?
It's a combination. So so my background has been, I was in EIR over at Lamp Post Group. And I was also an advisor and an investor with Amplify here in Venice. So, and prior to that, I was an e-commerce operator two times. And so I had seen influencers in the space, worked with them on all aspects and fronts for probably the last 12 years, 11 years or so. And I knew the power and impact that they had from a marketing perspective. From a branding perspective, and I saw the trajectory for over a decade of where it was going. That was traditional media was getting disintermediated and changed out from this new media. So I had always wanted to work in that field. I had been in it in many ways, But I also wanted to combine something, you know, with the experience that I had that, you know, obviously Simon has as well. And we wanted to create something that was sort of a mixture of in some ways venture and social media. So really what we have is an investment vehicle in a way that can develop and operate companies, but with the large marketing reach of social media influencers.
And, you know, there's so much, I think, misunderstanding. You know, I've been mentoring a lot of people in your space. I know you guys know Dan Fleischman, like that for years. And the irony of my life is when this whole space started and I was mentoring guys like Dan about the space, I was still marketing traditional brands, you know, the Troy Aikman's, Warren Moon's of the world in the traditional sense, trying to reconcile how influencers would appeal to the traditional people. And, you know, I think one of the best examples of the differentiators in what you do is that somebody like Dr. Pimple Popper can have more of a social media influence than the entire Pro Football Hall of Fame combined. And understanding how that impacts brands is essential, because the large brands that you guys deal with, you know, health and beauty brands that have been around for centuries, not even decades, and the billions of dollars in marketing that are poured in and through them, their systems don't reconcile with the data analytics and the understanding of, you know, a Jenner or even worse of a micro influencer. So what have you guys been doing, because you have such success with bigger brands, to educate the traditional marketing and media business units that exist within the bigger brands? And how has that evolved over all these years? And where are we going to go next with these bigger brands?
I believe that the bigger brands, it's funny, this, I was asked the exact same question a few hours earlier when I was being interviewed with
I just gotta tell you, Chris, that my goal is always for people to tell me the exact opposite. No one's ever asked me that question, but this is a first for me. Someone just asked me this question. Look, I'm someone who illuminates the truth. So you didn't hurt my feelings, but hopefully you have a really good answer now.
Yeah. I hopefully have a better answer than I did earlier today. my answer earlier today was I honestly don't know, and I'd be an idiot to say that I do. But this is what I currently believe in, and what I see is that micro and nano influencers are definitely the wave of the future. An aggregation of them is going to be really important, in my opinion. And at least from an ROI standpoint, it makes more sense for brands to work with them. From an awareness standpoint, though, and awareness is very important, right? Because you have to dissect what your social marketing looks like. You have social awareness and social performance marketing. Social performance marketing is probably best suited for macro and nanos. Nanos and micros. Macro influencers are best suited more for awareness marketing. Top of mind share, that type of stuff, but not true ROI. What we've done is we actually acquired a software company, one that I had invested in, called Magiclytics. It was something that we had developed out of Amplify when we saw our portfolio of companies was using influencers in all sorts of ways. And it was a problem that I had seen for, like I said, probably close to a decade now, was how do you identify what are you going to get out of a campaign with an influencer? Like, what is the ROI on it? You could spend, you know, upwards of $250,000, $500,000, $1 million, you know, for one influencer to post a picture, and you may see 3 sales. So, you know, you might see a lot of exposure to your brand, but so we developed a piece of software called Magiclytics that has around a 70% success rate right now of identifying before first dollar spent, which influencer to use, how much you're going to make. And it currently works in the e-commerce space.
That's awesome. So, you know, one of the other areas, I think the analogy that I used to use between engagement and awareness, understanding micro and nano influencers compared to the macro celebrity influencers that exist with huge followings, would be the difference between, you know, a commercial on the Super Bowl which is great awareness, compared to putting your product on QVC, which is great engagement and has, you know, that direct capability. And I see that the micro and nano influencers have a very tight influence and engagement with their audiences. And the macro influencers are like a Super Bowl commercial where, you know, they give a maximum exposure. I think what's interesting to me is there's a lot of, you know, I'll use like Selena Gomez as an example, because I like to joke around with her. I think she has like 130 million followers, but she can't sell out a movie theater, right? Like my 2 minute drill does better than her movies. And, you know, I have, you know, a nano audience of 500,000 people on my Instagram compared to hers, right? But with the amazing person that is just, you know, to me an anomaly is Kylie Jenner. Because she has an extraordinarily large following, but also she sells. You know, she sells products, and that's why she's, you know, one of the first women billionaires as an influencer. What do you think it is about Kylie Jenner that gives her the crossover of not only being a macro influencer of great awareness, but can actually engage her audience where they'll go out and shop for what she says to shop for?
Yeah, so, you know, in my opinion, when you're talking about, you know, Kylie Jenner, you're really not just talking about Kylie Jenner, you're talking about the entire family. You're talking about the Kardashians, the Jenners. What you're talking about is really an aggregate of a lot of things together. So I think that's a very interesting phenomenon and probably, you know, a case study in itself. But it really isn't just one person. So you're actually just talking, you're talking about the entire family, really. And the association between that, I think is massive. And I think people discount the fact they point to one person, you know, Kylie Jenner, but in truth, it's their family. It may even extend to, you know, their friends. And so I think, if you equate that to what we're doing, and we're aggregating as well a lot of macro influencers and their ability to do that. So now back to what you were first saying, the first part of your sentence. You're right. When nanos, it's very interesting because, and you're not a nano, by the way, at 500,000. That is not a nano influencer. Nano influencer is like 2,000 or, you know, 1,000 or something. Those are just the people you know that you legitimately know that you probably are, you know. And let's make it even tinier. Let's do just like micro, I don't even know what you would call it at that point, like micro nano influencer. Like if all of us were just sitting together having lunch and I said, hey, this salad, I had it before, it's great, you should get it. And the two of you say, yeah, let's order, three of you, you know, say, yeah, let's order this salad. I have just influenced you into getting that, right? And so at the end of the day, that's all it really is when you talk about influencers and all this. It's just a recommendation. Now I think where the, you know, Kylie Jenner works, not only is it because of the aggregate of the entire family, but I also think she does speak really well with her audience and there's a difference between fandom and followers. You know, a fan and follower, two completely different things. And she has a lot of fandom.
Yeah, no, Simon.
I think part of it is like Chris said, is that it's their success of opening up their lives, and everyone who wants to be like them or be them, you know. And it's like us growing up in the 80s and 90s, we all wanted to be like Michael Jordan, you know. And I think it's the same way for, you know, her fans. You know, her life was so wide open for the past 10, 15 years, and everyone has kind of associated them with as part of the family. And so that's how I think it's a very different sell than Selena Gomez, you know?
Yeah, no, Simon, you're the COO of the company. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about the marketing and media. It's another thing to run and build a company and have the right acquisitions and build a platform. What are the key components that you see for your business that's going to be a distinguishing factor, where already, you know, with Magilytics, you can, you know, put some sort of parameter around the value of an influencer and who to aggregate, who not to aggregate, who to hire, who not to hire. But, you know, this is such an unfathomably big opportunity. We don't, I don't think, have the capability yet to see how much opportunity and how capable we are of, you know, taking advantage of it. But as a COO, I bet you must be overwhelmed every day, kind of thinking, all right, what's the next piece of the puzzle? You know, number one, what is the next piece of your puzzle? And two, how do you decide on it?
It's funny because that's a constant daily battle of, you know, trying to grow the company, and we're trying to grow it through mergers and acquisitions at the same time, trying to add the correct pieces to scale, right? We don't want to run into a situation where we scale too quickly and we don't have the pieces in place to support the acquisitions or the expansion plans. And so it's really a juggling act, you know, you got to add one piece and then scale, add one piece and scale, you know, it's just take it day by day.
And what advice, I'm going to finish up with this. What advice would both of you give to the brands that are completely confused today, paralyzed today, afraid to spend money because they feel as if they have no idea if anyone knows what they're doing? What advice would you give a brand today that's looking for sales? They want to use, you know, the marketing and influencers to sell product. What advice would you give them? Simon, you can go first.
I think the one key thing is use Magiclytics. I think a lot of this marketing that we've seen is kind of, you know, these brands put money into it and they hope that they get an ROI on it. And I know we're tooting our own horn but that's what Magiclytics solves, is it's kind of give them a guideline or a roadmap of what could possibly happen if they spend this kind of money, large or small, or which influencers to actually focus on or not focus on. So I think that's probably one of my biggest advice is once we have the platform out, just sign up.
Nice. Chris, anything to add to that wisdom?
I can't.
Chris and I went to the same college, so I have to give everybody some crap on the show today because I'm like alumni. I've set these two up for success. I gave Simon the biggest softball, and now Chris is trapped. So
I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna take it in a different route. I'm gonna say focus on your product first, because I was on on the other side of the table as a venture capitalist for a long time, and everything I taught all my companies, our portfolio companies, and as an advisor, is focus on your product. You have the right product. First of all, have you identified the problem? Is the problem real? Is your solution really a good solution? Is the product market fit right? And if you have a great product, it honestly will sell itself. Then you take it to scale, but focus on the product, because the best products, and I use this is my analogy. I go, why was toilet paper invented? Well, because a leaf really hurts, right? and let's go a little.
We all almost found out how much it really hurts just recently with the pandemic. So yes, I save my socks from now on.
Yeah. And that's a product market fit, right? And then you go one step further, you say, well, toilet paper doesn't really fully solve the problem. Why do we have bidets nowadays? Like that are across in the US, not so much, but across pretty much the rest of the world, So a good product is really, the first thing I think most entrepreneurs and brands need to focus on. Now, if you're going to really talk about social media marketing, I think it's important for them to find influencers that actually resonate with their products. There are so many times where I've seen brands send something to some of our creators that have, tens of millions in following, and they're not getting paid a dime, but they just love the product. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. The product is great, and they will go and post it and talk about it for free just because they love it.
Right. And I'd say also is just the audience for the product, right? And, we've seen products go to our influencers and they don't get no traction, but when we go do a deep dive, it's a totally different demographic than our influencer used to. Their audiences, you're talking about young female, 16 to 30, and this product's for, men or males 45 to 60, and it just doesn't resonate with their audience. So it's just really understanding who that ideal consumer is and marketing towards that. And going with Chris saying is that also finding those influencers that are targeted for that audience as well.
I agree completely. You have the strength of the signals created by the frequency of the product or the content. I deal with a lot of content creators and I always say, look, it wouldn't matter because your content doesn't get there, right? And then there's other people that it doesn't matter because their content's so good. That creates the strength of the signal. And then you guys help find that spectrum of the audience that can receive that frequency or that signal. And then we can all help clarify the message. The more that they post or share, that will clarify the message even further. But I think those are the three components that Clubhouse Media really assists with, is really identifying the right products with the right influencers in the spectrum and a clear message in order to create the success that you want in what seems to be a very arbitrary and capricious state of media. You guys provide stable data that allows for better prospecting to distribute it into market, which I think is extraordinary. I know it's not easy to do, especially with the great minds of Cal State Fullerton and Occidental that we have here. It's not easy to do a three-person, three-legged podcast, but you guys were awesome. I appreciate you. Simon Yu, CEO of Clubhouse Media Group, with Christian Young, the president of Clubhouse Media Group. Thank you so much for joining me. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.